Good afternoon, everyone. We'll begin this listening session on Farm Bill implementation of the rural development title. First, I want to thank folks for taking the time here in the room and those online for engaging in what we certainly think here at the department is the beginning of the conversation on the implementation side of the Farm Bill. I also want to thank you. I know a lot of folks here today and on the line did yeoman and women's work on getting the bill passage. So thank you for all the work getting it to that point. And now USDA, of course, has the heavy responsibility of implementing the bill as quickly and effectively as possible. And in a way that Congress really intended. And that's a big reason why we are here today. This is a listening session. We're early on. Obviously, in the implementation phase, Secretary Vilsack and Deputy Hardin have talked quite a bit about our plans and the work that we're doing. And we have been with the team. Many have assembled here from rural development. We've been doing a lot of work and working with OGC to get this moving. So, you know, the highlights in the Farm Bill, folks here are probably familiar with at least part of them. I'll just mention a few. Of course, it was a reauthorization of just about every program that we have. There were some significant resources provided on the mandatory side with in the water program, VAPG, RMAP, a couple other programs. There was a new authority to prioritize long-term strategic regional projects. There was a change in the eligibility for housing programs for the decade, for the rest of this decade, and a new authority in healthy food financing also included in the bill. These are just a list of some of the highlights, but by my count, there are actually 24 provisions in Title VI that had changes to them. There are quite a few more provisions than that, but others reauthorized. So there is a lot of work in the department here in making sure that we prioritize the work that we do so that it can make the biggest impact in rural communities. Again, the purpose today is to listen, and we've assembled the key folks from the department and really from the USDA side of the table. The most important people here today are the people that I'm just about to ask to introduce themselves, and their senior program managers, policy folks through our three agencies that have been working on the Farm Bill implementation team. Catherine Ferguson, who is the chief of staff for the Mission area, is helping lead the team and liaison with the Office of the Secretary and OBPA to make sure that that everyone is in on the same page and in lockstep across the department. All right. Well, we're all ears. Many ears are here today to begin this conversation. I'm going to ask Catherine to come up and moderate the session. So thank you for being here today.
We have a lot of people from USDA who are the people who are here to listen. So I want to make sure that anybody who comes up front actually gets to look at the people who they're speaking to, not just me. I need to stand back to me. But I'll stand up here for the notebook, a place for my notebook. And as Doug said, the purpose of this is to listen to you, to your questions. The Secretary and the Deputy's Office and OBPA are leading a regular conveners group and Farm Bill working group. It's a way of keeping everybody in the department on the same page at the same time. We talk with frequency, maybe too much frequency, if that's possible. But we are doing a very concerted job, making a concerted effort to coordinate with a very large department. So, again, we're here to listen to you, so really this is your time to ask questions. We will do our best to answer. There may be process questions that are easier to answer, and some substantive things we're still working it out, but you're welcome to answer, and we'll make sure that we at least note it, and when we get an answer in the future, it'll be easier to follow up. So, who wants to start? going to be a really quiet session if nobody came loaded with questions, comments. Yes.
Thank you. So I'm Fritz Elder from the National Rural Water Association, and we're very excited about the mandatory funding for rural water infrastructure, and just wanted to get sort of some idea of how you see those funds being obligated and what the timeline was. Can I go back to my chair?
You may go back to your chair, but
absolutely
no follow-up. Great. So water and waste, making sure the water and wastewater program, there's $150 million provided for water and wastewater programs, and specifically for the backlog. That's been something that the Secretary has made a very high priority to try and get out. We actually are at the point where the paperwork has gone over to get the apportionment from OMB, and we're looking at sometime in early spring to see water actually go, water money available. And obligated. Mm-hmm. Would it be helpful to pick programs or categories of all the different things that are in the rural development section to go through? I can do that. But if you didn't come with questions, I don't know what to tell you. Does anybody have opinions about how certain sections are implemented? We have a lot of regulations, brand new regulations for this particular portion of the Farm Bill, too.
Hi, my name is Eugene. I'm with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I have a couple of questions. One is just kind of a general question about outreach. As Undersecretary O'Brien mentioned, there's a lot of changes in several program areas, and I'm just wondering what the time frame is and just what thoughts have been going into outreach to various applicants for programs like the APG and other programs that have some changes from the Farm Bill. That's one question. Another question is for the APG, we've been hearing from the state USDA offices that there is an extension for the latest NOFA. So I was just curious when that would be coming out. We've been hearing about that for a little bit. I was just curious when that extension would be taking place and also what the plans were for implementing the changes through any future rulemakings or guidances and other things. Thank you.
Okay. Ken and Michael, if you want to add to anything I have to say, then you're welcome to. Ken and Michael are sitting right up here, Ken Mierden and Michael Ford, and they do a whole lot of the reg writing specifically for rural business, a cooperative service. There are certainly many others involved sitting right over here. But they are doing a lot of the organizing of the entire process. They have two really good questions. To the second one about the extension, so just so everyone in the room knows, there was a NOFA published at the end of December or very early in January for value-added producer grants. The deadline was February 24th, just after the Farm Bill passed, but there were changes in the value-added producer program to add two new priorities. So the decision was to go ahead and make sure that the Farm Bill changes were incorporated. We made a decision to go ahead and extend the NOFA and give applicants the opportunity to demonstrate that they would fit those new priorities, or specifically a priority for veterans preference. The NOFA extension is just about through the standard clearance process here, and we would expect it to be published in a number of days. Your question about outreach, the Farm Bill, along with the new priorities, the language in the Farm Bill was relatively specific and mentioned that we need to go ahead and have some listening sessions, and so that's planned. We had some initial conversation about timeline, dare I say May, mid-May. We'd be looking at doing listening sessions explicitly on how the new priority for VAPG should be implemented, what that should look like. And at this point, we haven't talked about anything other than mid-May for doing those listening sessions. But they're on the radar and will happen. And if you have ideas, suggestions about how they should be or where they should be or when they should be or how to communicate about them to make sure folks know, and we're all ears.
Mm-hmm. Who else has questions?
I'll just ask you quickly. Yesterday,
sure.
Already talked to us about a few things they've already accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Of course. Actually, rural development is in a really good place. We are a couple of things that we have been working on kind of parallel to and while the Farm Bill has been going on. One was an update to the business and industry program. It's just been some time that there's been a reg update in progress. And so folks here work to make sure that the changes that are in the Farm Bill were actually incorporated into this proposed rule that's been going through clearance. And it's at the point right now where it will be ready to go to OMB soon. We're kind of in the final bouts of going back and forth with them about when they will take it and if any final modifications need to be made. So we may be in a position, dare I say this, on a public audience, but we might be in a position to have the first regulation go over to OMB of anyone in the department. So they're just in case, so you know, right? We're way out there. Another thing we've been working on in a similar way is updating the Rural Energy for America program. Again, that was a regulation that was being updated over the course of the last several months. And so staff worked to make sure that the changes that are being made will track the changes that were in the Farm Bill along with anything else that was already kind of needed to make sure the program is working well. So those are two places where we're actually very close to actually having what was in the Farm Bill really done in regulation. Those would be probably the two major things to note, unless other folks on staff flag other items. I thought there was another question.
Ari Newman with the Rural Community Assistance Partnership. I'm just trying to get a sense of what the timeline and implementation is going to look like on the new authorization for technical assistance in the community facilities program.
Hmm. Good question. So to give a little context for this question, a new provision was added, or a modification was made to the community facilities program that will enable 3-5% of funds to be used for technical assistance. It's probably worth noting that 3-5% is the budget authority number, not necessarily program level. And we are still in the midst of figuring out exactly what that's going to look like. It does require a new regulation. So we'll need to do a work plan and go through the full regulations process from the very beginning. There is a model on the books looking at the water and environmental programs. So I know that right now staff, I think Susan right here, is actually working very closely with the water staff to examine how is it done there. Does it work? Could it be better? Could that be used as a guide? The other question that we're asking with all of the changes in regulations is there any way to fold the regulatory changes that the Farm Bill requires into the any ongoing kind of regulatory priorities or changes. So I think in particular with rural development, we have a lot of regulatory priorities that are outside of the Farm Bill, especially since a lot of housing programs actually aren't in the Agriculture Committee's jurisdiction. There are places where we are looking to see if we can just fold and streamline regulatory changes into things that are already in the pipeline. So you'd see more things perhaps like BNI and REAP, where the regulatory process is just further along. But to your specific question, we don't know yet what it's going to look like. We're looking at models that exist that are on the books, seeing if we can improve them, and we'll need to go through a full regulatory process. So it's not something that we would anticipate having done for FY14.
Hi, I'm Ted Sagram with the National Association of Development Organizations. Similar to that question,
mm-hmm.
I know that Secretary O'Brien mentioned it, but that new regulation that 10% of funds can be reserved for regional and multi-jurisdictional purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of a timeline and some highlights of that. Thanks.
Sure. So as Doug talked about, there is a new priority in the Farm Bill. It has two different components, and it applies to I believe it's four different programs: water programs, community facilities, the BNI program and there's a combined grant program. It's actually the Rural Business Enterprise Program and Rural Business Opportunity Grant Program that are the two authorities are kept but merged. So there's a new authority that will enable the secretary to do two things. One would be to provide some kind of preference points if a project met a certain set of criteria that would include regional cooperative work, multi-jurisdictional collaboration, having a long-term strategy. The other component is a set-aside that would enable up to 10% of funds from those four program areas to be set aside, but only through, I believe it's the end of June of each year, and then those funds would be released. We have not yet determined exactly how to implement this. We're talking about it, looking at what it means and the different options. It is something the Secretary is really interested in, and so we've been looking at a multi-stage process. The first thing we're doing is looking at all of the different places where we actually have flexible authority. So there are lots of programs where preference points are actually written in statute or written in regulation. There are other programs where the administrators just have some flexibility about what will be prioritized and what will be. So first we're doing an inventory to make sure we really know what that looks like. Then to implement, we're doing two things. One, we're thinking about how do we do that? How do we make use of this year? And most likely that will mean using NOFAs and using those administrative points when we can, as those NOFAs move through the process. Longer term, we're looking at what a regulation would look like, and the questions are still outstanding. Would that be one regulation that applies to all of the programs that are listed, or would that mean making little tweaks in all of the different, in the regulations of all of the four programs, or all four programs that are listed? We don't know yet, so we're having a lot of conversations with our lawyers to make sure that we really understand. And we also anticipate having conversations with folks on the Hill to make sure we really understand what Congress intended. And so this is one where we really want to hear from you, especially if this was something that was a priority. How do you want this to be implemented? What did you mean? And if you have opinions, tell us now, because you've got all the people in the room right now who, you know, we're asking the questions. We're asking exactly the questions that you are, but maybe less emphasis on timing and a little bit more emphasis on how what was this supposed to look like. So if you have ideas or opinions, please let us know. Come on up.
Bruce Knight, Strategic Conservation Solutions. This one's not as much farm program or farm bill implementation as it is program administration. One of the real challenges that we've got for many of us that are trying to stack various USDA programs together is the timing of the various USDA programs, and especially in the case of REAP and Value-Added Producer Grant Program and BNI, how it fits with the season. And I know as chilly as it is today, hard to believe that spring and summer are fast on us. A project that needs construction, it's really a lot cheaper and a lot easier for us to do it if we're actually able to make a decision in the spring so that we're in construction phase during the summer. The last several years, we've been stuck with decisions are coming August, September on final decisions, and so we're out of season climatically with construction. And the degree to which, as you're moving things ahead, and now with the mandatory funds, it's all possible with the mandatory funds for you to simply accelerate the programmatic decisions so that we're making things at the right time of year for the seasons.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
I'm Sarah Tyree. I'm with CoBank, and the question I have is regarding the new broadband program that was authorized in the Farm Bill, the high-speed program, and it seemed like the language was pretty vague, and was curious about the time frame of the rulemaking process, and also just urging that we really like loan guarantees, and CoBank would love to partner with USDA on this program to focus on using this program as a loan guarantee.
Are you talking specifically about a rural gigabyte pilot program?
Correct.
Okay. So there's a major farm bill broadband program, and then there is this a new pilot program, rural gigabyte high-speed program. And you're right, the language is very broad, and we can't answer your questions yet at all, because we are still talking to our lawyers to better understand what was intended. The way that it's written thus far, we haven't been able to understand whether the program itself is supposed to be freestanding or whether it's supposed to be underneath the existing broadband program, whether or not the current the mandatory funds that are still kind of no-year money that exists for the Farm Bill broadband program, can those be used or is it separate? So we are asking lots of questions right now of our lawyers, and once we have answers, then we'll get to the point where we can talk about timeline and how it would actually be implemented. And I would anticipate we'd do that in the next couple of weeks. But today we're still asking questions. So if you have answers and you know how it was intended and you know how you'd like to see it, that's really useful. And I have made a note. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Jerry Rickett with Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation, and this is sort of self-serving. We were chosen to lead the first trauma zone. And the president's going to announce three more rounds of these. And hopefully, as you draft the regulations and rules where there's legislative discretion, then we can get the administration's priority written into those rules. Sure, it'll certainly help us in the field as we try to explain the program. Thank you.
Thanks for that note. I can give a little more background if there are people in the room who want more information, but I know what you're talking about. I certainly have made a note, but everyone else should decide if we need more information or background. I don't actually know. Can the people on the phone hear us, and two, can you ask questions? No, apparently not. Sorry. Yeah, note to the left. All right, are there other people in the room with questions, ideas for us? How should we be doing things as we implement these programs? Nothing? Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hey, I just got, you just said the line is unmuted. I'm Michelle Levy Benitez with the Opportunity Finance Network. I wanted to ask a question about the Healthy Foods Finance Initiative that was included in the Farm Bill.
Go ahead.
Just if y'all had any more information about it. And also to ask whether there was any overlap in the President's budget with what was requested in the Farm Bill for Healthy Foods Financing Initiative at Ag.
Okay, great questions. So for those of you who don't know, the Healthy Food Financing Initiative is a new program that was authorized in this Farm Bill. It's something that is actually already run through Treasury and also HHS. And it is a program that would enable USDA to help finance projects that would improve access to healthy, affordable food, specifically in areas of high need and where there's generally poor food access, low food access. It was decided that rural development should run this program. It is not explicitly a program for rural communities. It's for everybody. But because rural development is the bank, the department that does the most work as a lender, the decision was made to give that delegation of authority, which was left to the secretary, to rural development. So we will be working very closely with the Food and Nutrition Service, and also the Agricultural Marketing Service, and then all of the private partners and nonprofit partners across the country to figure out exactly how to implement this and make sure that it's something that everybody has access to, even though our field structure is specifically in rural communities. You asked about the President's budget and whether or not there was any correspondence. So there was no funding for the Healthy Food Financing Initiative in the Farm Bill. The President's budget does include a request for $13 million for healthy food financing in FY15. So we're having preliminary meetings with stakeholders here at USDA. We are really looking forward to working with folks to figure out what this new program looks like and how to implement it. And we'll probably take it slow. We'll listen. We'll work a lot with people on the ideas and the concept, and then we'll see whether or not there's money. And if there is money, we'll make sure that the program is ready to go by the time. Yep, Ken, you have a suggestion, idea? Yeah, you probably need to use the mic.
Hi, Ken Muirton. I just wanted to add, you mentioned a listening session earlier for value added.
Yes.
The intent was what we're trying to do is on the same day have a listening session also for HFSI.
I see.
So I just wanted to...
All right. Okay. Yep. So there you go again. More, we'll definitely be doing listening sessions for HFSI as well as EAPG for anyone on the phone who didn't hear. I hope that answered your question. I don't know if you can answer me, but you're muted, right? Other questions in the room or on the phone, if you can unmute yourself. Bruce, another one?
First, I did Conservation Solutions again. This is one, and thank you, Undersecretary O'Brien. You've got a team that's working right now on a biogas roadmap. I've met many of you talking about anaerobic digesters, so you're not surprised at this. But for all of you that are working on these regs, think about making sure that your programs have sufficient flexibility to not unintentionally exclude things as you're going through that. And that's one of the things we're finding on anaerobic digestion. If I'm going through a REAP scoring sheet, it works well for liquid fuels and it doesn't work as well for biogas. Value-added producer grant program, believe it or not, we actually want cow manure to be considered something that we can convert into value-added producer grant program. But if the wrong person owns the cows or the cow manure, they're not eligible for VAPG. We've got those mysterious NACE codes that we don't have one for a digester. Therefore, the folks at RUS put one number on it. The folks at REAP put another number, and we've walked across the street to someplace else. They put a different number on it. And so we've got all these little programmatic challenges that are none of them intentionally, but rather end up being barriers for this this industry to grow. And that's why, Undersecretary, the biogas roadmap is very important in being able to find those, identify them, and strip them away. But for those of you that aren't working on that while you're working on rules and regulations, know these things are coming, and we've got to be able to address those things if we're going to get anaerobic digestion on the same platform, if you will, as the other renewable fuels. So thank you.
Okay. Are there more people on the phone who have questions? Can you unmute yourselves to ask questions?
Hello?
Hello.
Are there any dates for the listening sessions for healthy foods?
We have not set any dates yet, but we will make sure they are on our website and broadcast broadly when they are set.
All right, thank you.
Others on the phone? Okay. Others in the room? Yeah. Sure.
So I also wanted to say thanks for the listening session. I think it's been good to have this for all the different program areas of USDA. So thanks for having us. I think I'm going to be a bit of a broken record on outreach, but I think outreach is really essential for not just the applicants, but I think that it'd be really helpful to also have stories to the public, stories that folks on the Hill could relate to and see, you know, here's a successful example of EPG or BNI with a local food set aside or any of a number of programs. So I think, you know, in addition to having these listening sessions for BAPG, and HFSI and possibly other programs, maybe RBDG and others, but to also have, you know, that communications piece where you're telling stories of here are the successes of the program, I think that could be really, really useful. And I think EDSEC would be happy to help with providing farmers and others that could provide those kinds of stories. And also we would love to help out with outreach for programs and the different changes to the programs, especially for BNI, the local food set aside got some good amount of funding, and also for the VAPG changes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Other ideas, suggestions? And I guess additionally, if our program staff has any questions of this group, are there provisions that you're wrestling with or you have questions, you're also more than welcome to chime in. I'm not the only one who needs to ask if there are questions. But if not, then I guess it's all just crystal clear, which is fine. We should just go do it then instead of talk about it. Anyone else on the phone?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
What's your name?
This is Sue Beckwith from the city of Elgin, Texas. We're going to be submitting a pre-app for the RBEG and RBOG programs this year. How will the combining of those two programs affect the funding timeline?
Good question. So as mentioned earlier, very briefly, we have the Rural Business Enterprise Grant Program and Rural Business Opportunity Grant Program. The Farm Bill takes those two authorities and really completely preserves all of the functionality of both programs, but merges them together. What we anticipate doing so we can make sure to get FY14 money out is running those two programs separately through RBAG and RBOG this year, and in the meantime, working on a rule so that we could go ahead and run the program as a combined grant program next year in FY15. So that would, to answer questions, the goal is not to delay getting the money out at all this year, but not to necessarily actually combine the programs this year because we have to get the rule written first. And if we did that first, then we would delay getting the money out. Does that respond to your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Megan Foster with NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association.
Hi, Megan.
I have a question about the Farm Bill Broadband Program. What's the timeline for implementation of the new regulations for the changes that were made with the Farm Bill?
Megan, we're still working on developing a timeline on this particular provision. It's going to require significant investments in technology, and it will require us to rewrite the regulation. We're still working with – a lot of the statute was very specific, and the manager's package or the report at the back of the document was very, very specific as well. So there's not a lot of interpretation we need to do, but there is a lot of work, and it will take time. Right now, we're still just getting a final read, but our impression is that we can't run the program at all until the regulation is rewritten. So I don't have a good concrete answer for you, but it will not be it will probably not be this fiscal year.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Are there others on the phone? All right. Perhaps not. Blake, do you want to say anything else?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you to everyone. Oh, right. We have an energy listening session later, so if any of you want to stick around and ask any questions specific to energy, you're more than welcome to. And we and our program staff will be here for a few minutes, happy to talk and take your questions if you're too shy. Yes, Harry? Why don't you come do that for me, Harry? Great. I do want to know that on the way in there was a piece of paper available that actually has contact information for programs. Pick one up on your way out. And Harry has a note about an email address.
Yeah, and actually on the bottom of that contact paper, there's if you have additional questions, there's an email box set up. If you send it to rdfarmbillcomments@wdc.usda.gov.
Great. Thank you very much, Harry. Good reminder. All right. Thanks again, everyone.